Before we start today's episode of Locked On Heat, just a quick update. As David and I got done recording this episode, Adrian Wojnarowski broke the news that the Jimmy Butler sign-and-trade deal is complete and that there are a lot of moving parts, but basically Maurice Harkless will go to the Clippers after it was originally intended to go to the Heat and the Hassan Whiteside deal that we'll talk about. The Heat will also send, along with Mo Harkless, a future first-round pick to the Clippers. So the Clippers will take on some money and get a first round pick, and they will maintain cap space enough to potentially sign Kawhi Leonard. The Sixers will still get Josh Richardson. The Heat will obviously still get Jimmy Butler and sign him to a 4-year, $142 million max contract. So the sign and trade deal is done. It's over. Goran Dragic, Kelly Olynyk, Derek Jones Jr. for now are staying in Miami. The Heat could still pivot and move them in other directions. We still don't know what the relationship between the Heat and Goran Dragic is like, if they still intend to try to find a landing spot for him. But the framework for the sign-and-trade is complete. Jimmy Butler will be in Miami. Now, on with the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, welcome into a new edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and trade. Thanks for listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here with David Ramil. We talked about the Jimmy Butler deal on the last episode. We'll have more updates on that three-team deal that is apparently in limbo. It's in complete chaos. We don't really know what's happening. We're going to try to make sense of it later on. But after agreeing to those vague terms of that sign-and-trade involving Jimmy Butler, Pat Riley is still making moves. He's traded Hassan Whiteside to the Portland Trail Blazers for Mo Harkless and Myers Leonard. The moves keep coming, David. Riley's really mixing things up here.
I think, you know, partly the move makes a lot of sense from Miami's perspective in that it helps kind of lower some of their salary cap obligations, right? I think the combined salaries of Leonard and Harkless are lower than what
it's about $6 or $7 million less. That's right.
Yeah. So it makes a lot of sense. You're clearly pivoting so much from what we've heard over the past year or so that Hassan was going to be able to compete for minutes, that he was still a player that could function in Miami. So much has taken place over the last couple of days. And Riley's determined. Like, I remember talking, I want to say last year, about Miami and the possibility of breaking up this team. And that when it comes to making moves like this, Riley doesn't do anything small. Like, he doesn't make little peripheral ancillary changes. He's been blowing up this roster. And so all of a sudden we've lost Josh Richardson to Philadelphia, or we send Josh Richardson to Philadelphia. We send Hassan Whiteside to Portland. Who knows what's going on with Goran Dragic and or Kelly Olynyk and or Derek Jones Jr. But I mean, clearly there are moves and perhaps even more moves on the horizon. So a lot's taken place as far as the move itself is concerned. I'm not sorry to see it happen.
The one guy, you were almost distraught over this idea of losing Josh Richardson and Goran Dragic. You were not distraught, in shock, surprised. But I there is a sense of relief in losing Hassan Whiteside. And look, I will say this. Hassan Whiteside had a really nice season last year, sort of quietly. He proved that he could do things that I don't think we thought he could do, in that he was a positive on defense, even though the block numbers weren't there. He was still a net positive on defense for the first time. He showed a little bit more of an effort to pass the ball and move the ball a little bit more. He was a nice player for this team, and he was a great asset coming off the bench when Bam Adebayo eventually surpassed him for the starting job. And so I think for Portland it makes a lot of sense, because you get Whiteside. You don't know when Yusuf Nurkic is going to return from his terrible injury. So with Whiteside on an expiring contract, is it expensive? Yes, but it's an expiring contract. He's insurance for Nurkic. You're not going to be, you know, in a rut without your starting center. At least you have a starting caliber center in Whiteside there who's going to help them on the board. It's going to help them on defense. He fits with what they want to do. And so it makes sense for Portland. If you're Miami, you get a couple of nice pieces back. Mo Harkless, a long wing. He can shoot threes. That's really all he does. Myers Leonard is a 7-foot center who shoots threes, and that's really all that he does. But look, when you've got guys like Jimmy Butler and Justice Winslow and Bam Adebayo kind of elevating their positions on this team, you need to surround them with shooting. So even, I know it was probably mostly a salary thing and probably mostly just a let's get rid of Whiteside thing, but the guys they got back make sense. And by the way, Harkless and Leonard are on expiring contracts just like Whiteside was, so you're not taking back long-term money.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense too. And so you're absolutely, I'm actually kind of curious to see if both of these players are part of the Heat roster. And I'm not sure how that plays out exactly. I don't, can they be moved right away? Can they still be traded right away if there's another deal in the works?
They could be rerouted. I guess the cap experts on Twitter are saying that you can't reroute them together. So you can't combine them in a package and move them both at the same time. But I think you can move. I see no reason why you couldn't reroute them. We see that happening all the time individually.
Yeah, there is some duplication as far as what Olynyk and Leonard does, and that's that, you know, they both space the floor.
They're both 7-footers who shoot threes. Yeah. I mean, Kelly Olynyk is the better player because he's a better playmaker.
Yes.
And a better defender than Myers Leonard, which isn't saying much, but Myers Leonard gets torched every time he's on the floor.
Yeah.
So he seems like a reserve big. Even if Olynyk were, like, you could say Myers Leonard is insurance in case you do have to ship out Olynyk.
Yes.
But not at the center spot.
He's more aggressive on the boards than Olynyk. They both have strengths
and weaknesses.
I think Olynyk is a better.
That's right.
Olynyk is a better overall player because he has versatile skill set, which Leonard is kind of limited. He's a big and he does shoot the ball pretty well. So.
But he's on an expiring contract where Kelly Olynyk still has 2 more years left too.
That's a very good point.
That's a difference in value as well. But overall, I think. Getting off of Hassan Whiteside, and we, you know, longtime listeners of this program know that we haven't been huge fans of Hassan Whiteside's games.
I was thinking about it. It's like we've been critical of him because of the mistakes of the front office and rewarding him with a $100 million contract. You know, like that wasn't his fault, and any other player, any other person on the planet would be like, sure, I'll take $100 million. And so maybe it wasn't the quote-unquote value that we would have liked. But moreover, I think the biggest criticism that we've had with him is that his game is archaic and that his effort has been waning. And whether we want to ascribe that to injury or anything else, we just haven't seen him be a committed player to his own improvement and to winning on the team's sake. And I think that's what we hold against him, is that he might have had an ability to contribute at a high level defensively, particularly in his rim protection. He might have been able to be a force around the rebounding and in scoring around the paint. But we didn't see that effort from him on a consistent basis, and we hold it against him. And I think, quite frankly, we will and we should. And I think Portland will too. I think they're going to see some problems there. I mean, like, he seems pretty jazzed up about playing with quote-unquote shooters, but at the same time, I'm not sure how it's going to help his game when he doesn't have the ball in his hands. Or is CJ McCollum going to be giving the ball up to Hassan Whiteside? That doesn't seem
pretty likely. It'll be the same stuff. You don't really run, you know, a play for him every quarter, maybe.
Right. Right.
But for the most part, I don't think he's going to be a lob threat. He wasn't really a lob threat for Miami unless Dwayne Wade was in the game, and that's just because his athleticism has declined.
Yeah,
but like, if you think about from Portland's perspective, you're giving up Mo Harkless and Myles Leonard. It's really just, it's a low cost to get Whiteside, so it's not a huge needle mover for any team,
sure.
But it does sort of mix things up for two rosters who needed a little bit of mixing things up. Portland needed to mix things up, and so I thought that made a lot of sense for them still. And then once Nurkic comes back, you move Whiteside back to the bench, and if he has a problem with it, all right, go sign somewhere else this summer because you're on an expiring contract. The other problem that we always had with Whiteside was that not only was it the effort, he was somewhat delusional about where he fit in the hierarchy or in today's game. Why am I not being, why are we, you know, adjusting to those teams playing small? I'm big and I'll just score. I'll just post him up. And we're like, well, we don't want you posting up because that's an inefficient shot and you're not very good at it. Like, you're just not. Like, your version of a post-up is being 8 feet away from the basket and doing that push shot at the glass. That's not a great post-up move. So, and he would put any effort that he did put forth, it was kind of always towards the wrong areas. You know, like, he wanted to get into the post more. He was a black hole on offense. I mean, look, I'm not here to just bash the guy, but...
Do it.
He wasn't that helpful for this team for a very long time, and the contract sucked, and I'm glad that he's gone, and that I'm glad that the Heat mixed things up. And all these Whiteside people that come at us all the time saying that the Heat don't value him, saying that we always bash him and we're not fair to him. You know what the Heat got back for him? Myers Leonard and Mo Harkless. That's his value. That's not us on a podcast. That is literally his value in the league. So I think we won that battle. Let's talk about the Jimmy Butler stuff here. We're going to try to sift through this madness and figure it all out. You're listening to Locked On Heat. For the latest takes on NBA free agency, follow all of the Locked On Podcast Network hosts on one Twitter feed at Locked On NBA Net. It's an awesome way to get all of the latest opinions from the local experts during NBA free agency. Follow along on Twitter at Locked On NBA Net. So this Jimmy Butler thing is crazy. I have no idea what's happening. Originally, Goran Dragic was supposed to be part of this trade, going to Dallas for basically nothing. And then there was a hang-up. And then it was apparently Kelly Olynyk and Derrick Jones Jr. that was supposed to go to Dallas. And the Heat, I backed out of that because they didn't want to trade Derrick Jones Jr. There's one report, and obvious, there's other reasons why it wouldn't get them under the hard cap that they need to get under in order to execute the sign-and-trade. So it's illegal from CBA terms. And it does, and now this three-way trade that would have Josh Richardson going to Philadelphia, Philadelphia using their new cap space to sign Al Horford, Miami getting Jimmy Butler and sending out the necessary salary, i.e. Goran Dragic, to Dallas or whatever third team, is now hung up because communication broke down between Dallas and Miami. And now this is frustrating. Ultimately, I still think this thing goes through. The Mavericks, I guess, walked away from Goran Dragic because they wanted to execute some other moves. I guess Seth Curry was really that important, and re-signing J.J. Barea, for whatever reason, was huge. That important.
Yeah, there's your quality point guard player right there.
Dallas still has enough room to absorb Goran Dragic without giving any salary back. But so ultimately, won't. I think it still gets done. But boy, what a road.
It's been chaotic. I mean, for our listeners last night, as we were seeing all these moves take place in real time, I mean, we weren't sure what was happening, what the rationale was. And, you know, at first we heard the Dragic thing, then there was the Kelly Olynyk thing, and then there was the nothing. I don't think Dallas will be a partner for Miami at this point. I can't. Yes, they have the space to absorb Dragic, but they don't have the need anymore. Like, I mean.
You don't think they have the need?
I mean, I'm sure he's a better point guard than Jalen Brunson and or J.J. Barea.
Yeah.
And or Seth Curry. You know, I mean,
Seth Curry is an off-ball guy, but yeah.
Yeah, sure, exactly. So, I mean, I understand that, but I don't think they want to pay his $19 million salary this year, and I'm not sure why that's a problem. I don't know where the communication happened. I think the bottom line for all our listeners is that Mark Cuban is a jerk and an asshole and has screwed Miami yet once again.
I wonder if they had their irons in the fire with Seth Curry and J.J. Barea, and they wanted to get those things done and see where they ended up salary cap wise before executing the Dragic trade. I wonder if it was something as simple as that, because there's so many moving parts in free agency. Dominoes, it's not like one domino falls and hits this one. Like, we talk about dominoes all the time with free agency. It's really not like that. It's more wild. Like, things have different effects on all these other things. There's major ripple effects happening all the time all over the league. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe that was part of it. It just seems to me that there was a hitch, and I don't know what the hitch was, whether it was timing on Dallas's end because they wanted to get these other things done, or maybe there was a breakdown in communication.
Yeah, that's what we've heard, but it's like, I mean, I realize all of this is supposed to be clandestine anyway. We're not supposed to be privy to what these machinations are. But, like, how they fall apart so quickly, how no side is clear about what's happened and who's at fault here. And maybe from Miami's perspective, you don't want to burn Dallas publicly, because if they are, in fact, responsible, and it could be Miami's fault, it absolutely could be, although I think given the track record of that front office, you would probably say it's not their fault.
Best front office in the league in executing multi-trade deals. That's not hyperbole. They are. Every year, it seems like.
Yeah. They understand how it works. They understand negotiations, etc.
They're great communicators. They have to be. They are. That is a front office that is great at communicating, and the front office has not changed in any meaningful way. People have gotten elevated. People have gotten promoted, but the front office has not changed in any meaningful way. The touch points are still the touch points. So, yeah, I agree with you. It sounds like it's – and look, you know, in a lot of these three-team trades, Philadelphia could have been involved in some sort of communication. Hey, can you, by the way, after we get off the phone call, tell Dallas this and this? And maybe Philly, with a relatively new front office, Elton Brand and a lot of other guys in there, maybe they screwed something up. I mean, it's not impossible. It's frustrating. It's frustrating, but I still think it gets done. And if it's not Dallas, and I still ultimately think it'll be Dallas, and we are hearing word now from the Miami Heat that, look, they're telling Goran Dragic, hey, we'll trade you. We're going to work to find a place that makes sense for you. But really, there's only three places that can even absorb Goran Dragic. And by the way, they need to be able to absorb almost the entirety of Goran Dragic's contract. And though, in order for to get the sign and trade, to get signed off by the league office. And there's only three teams that could absorb him right now. It's the Clippers, the Lakers, and the Mavericks, who all have enough cap space to just take on the full salary without giving anything back. Mm-hmm. And the Clippers and the Lakers are in a holding pattern with this whole Kawhi Leonard situation. So now the Heat indirectly are maybe waiting on Kawhi to make his decision, and there's no timetable for that either.
Yeah, exactly. there are not a lot of options here. If you had to ascribe a percentage or odds of this happening or falling apart, what would you say those might be?
It's 100% happening. It's not.
You think so? It's 100%?
Yeah. It can't fall apart. Jimmy Butler comes to Miami, what part's happening? 100% Jimmy Butler ends up in Miami some way, somehow.
Okay.
I think that the Heat are committed to making that happen, and there's ways to make it happen.
So if you had to project how this plays out, is it with Goran being moved and Olynyk and Derek Jones Jr. still on the roster?
Yeah.
Or Olynyk is being moved as well somewhere?
I think ultimately Goran Dragic ends up on Dallas. I think
given
it
that
still
we've
happens.
Acquired Myers Leonard now, don't you think it's somewhat more important to try and find a taker for Kelly Olynyk's contract?
Nah.
No? Okay.
No, I don't think Myers Leonard is going to play that much. Am I crazy? He's like a reserve center. If you have a line, if you have, I don't know, let's say your three front court players are, all right, let's call them four front court players, Kelly Olynyk, Bam Adebayo, James Johnson, Derek Jones Jr. I'm going to throw Derek Jones Jr. in there.
Oof.
If those are your four front court players, you could still start Olynyk and Bam. When you need Bam to rest, you bring him, you know, you put him on the bench, you move Olynyk over to center, you play James Johnson. And then you take Olynyk out, and then you put Bam back in, and then you're able to get Derek Jones Jr. some minutes. And you can sort of just do that. And look, Myers Leonard will play a little bit, but I don't think he's gonna compete with Olynyk for minutes. I think he's gonna just take some of the minutes that are there at center. He might play 10 minutes a game, you know, 5 minutes a half, something like that. But I don't see him competing with Olynyk. If anything, you just have two. If they do play together, you just have 2 7-footers who space the floor really well, and you can get some weird lineups like that, but it's not like Ryan Anderson competed with Kelly Olynyk, because like we just said,
too.
Kelly Olynyk.
We assume that he's still getting waived, right?
Waived and stretched, maybe. I don't know. Anderson? We'll see. Ryan Anderson could get waived and stretched if it comes down to it, which is another way that Miami has an avenue to make this happen. Which is why I'm not worried about Jimmy Butler not being in Miami. The Heat are going to make this happen. They're not. This isn't going to have gone down, and the Heat end up not getting Jimmy Butler. There's way, like, if they need to attach draft picks and stuff like that, they'll do it. Jimmy Butler is happening. He's coming to Miami. It's what's it look like? And ultimately, I think the easiest thing, the thing that makes the most sense, and look, the thing that makes the most sense isn't always the thing that happens. I get that. But the thing that still makes the most sense is that Dallas just absorbs Goran Dragic, who is a player that will really help them. And there's no other free agents left for them to go get. Do they want DeMarcus Cousins? Like, I don't know what they're waiting on. They're not players for Kawhi Leonard. I don't know what it is. Danny Green, we've heard a little bit of noise on. Really, you want Danny Green over Goran Dragic? I just don't buy it. I don't know if Dallas is trying to like get another asset out of this. I don't know what it is, but ultimately that's what I think happens. But we'll find out. Let's take a break here. We'll talk about some of the other ripple effects from the Jimmy Butler trade and where the Heat could go next after they finally land Jimmy Butler. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Remember to listen to and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Locked On Heat on Himalaya, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. The latest reports, David, have the Heat now connected to the Washington Wizards, talking to them about one Bradley Beal, and potentially, according to Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald, eating the John Wall contract, the worst contract in basketball, taking that on in order to facilitate a trade and motivate the Wizards to part with Bradley Beal. Everything we had heard up to this point, and there had been a little bit of scuttle on Twitter from unverified accounts and whatnot, but everything that we had heard was basically that Washington was going to wait. They're not going to trade Bradley Beal, that they're going to hold on to him and kind of into the season and see what happens. But I guess if the Heat come to the table and say, well, we'll take John Wall off your hands and we'll let you go all the way into a full rebuild and we'll give you some other assets here, you know, maybe a young player and some expiring contracts, draft picks, whatever it looks like, then I think you at least are now negotiating. Would taking John Wall's contract be worth it in order to land Bradley Beal to you?
That would be a hell no from me. Like, this isn't about John Wall, the player. This is about John Wall, the contract, unfortunately. Like, that is such a huge, terrible deal. And I think it negates any kind of value of acquiring Bradley Beal. Like, as much as you might like Bradley Beal as a player, and he's a fine player, I think adding Wall and that contract is really, really, really problematic. And would, like, you've just spent the last two seasons being blasted for overpaying Hassan Whiteside, for overpaying James Johnson, Dion Waiters, et cetera, et cetera. Like,
this would be worse than any of those contracts combined.
I think so.
Should I lay out the numbers just for our listeners here? So yeah, I just pulled it up. It's $38 million next season for John Wall. He's not playing next season. Okay, he's not going to play. So you're paying him $38 million to not play. Now, there is some weird stuff with insurance. The Heat could get that money back, and maybe they look at that as a value. You reinvest that into Carnival Cruise Lines. Everybody's happy. But $38 million next year to not play. The next season, he's making $41 million. The season after that, he's making $44 million. The season after that, he's making $47.3 million. He is going to be really old. He's coming off of a chronic Achilles injury. He's never going to be an all-star player again. I mean, unless it is for an amazing, historic turnaround, but he wasn't really that good for the last couple of years. And he's a ball hog. He doesn't contribute on defense. Like, if you are taking John Wall, like, I don't know what role he would play when he does eventually return from injury. And the thing is that worth it to get Bradley Beal, who's a nice player, a good player, an all-star player with a ton of upside, but he's not the number one player on a championship team. It's not like we're attaching John Wall to Kawhi Leonard in a trade. We're attaching John Wall to a nice player in a trade. To me, I'm with you. Hell no.
Yeah, I can't imagine Miami. Like, and we've seen some, you know, cryptic tweets from Beal, and we've seen some things play out that way, but like, I just can't imagine a world where Miami is willing to commit that kind of money to a player like John Wall.
We could end up eating these words because they could do it. I mean, I don't know how they do it because look, I'm not a cap expert by any means. I try my best at this stuff. But with the hard cap, to pay a guy $40 million under a hard cap, how do you even... And then also take on the Bradley Beal contract, which is worth it, but... Big.
Are they a big three? I mean, that's the whole thing. Like, given how the league is playing out right now, and there's going to be... Well, if we assume that Kawhi does not join the Los Angeles Lakers, it seems like there will be more parity around the league than ever before. Like, there's a lot of good teams in the East. There's a lot of good teams in the West. And any one of those teams could, you know, conceivably find a way into the finals and potentially win a championship. I don't think anybody really looked at the Toronto Raptors before acquiring Kawhi Leonard as a legitimate title contender. And even with his addition, there were still questions about whether or not he would be able to win the title. But as far as acquiring Bradley Beal and John Wall, let's say even if John Wall was perfectly healthy, is the trio of Butler, Wall, and Beal, considering what you'd have to sacrifice in order to acquire those two players, given the salary and everything else, I mean... what's left on Miami's roster, that group would not be enough to challenge even the best teams in the East, much less the Lakers, should they assume.
It would be a slightly better version of what the Washington Wizards were the last few years.
Yeah, because Otto Porter's not a bad player. Right. I think Jimmy Butler's a pretty good player, but
he's an upgrade over that, but given that John Wall will also take a major step back from even where he was.
Right.
I'm being generous in saying it's a slightly better version of what the Wizards were the last few years, which, no thanks. No thank you. And so, look, we don't know what's going to happen. The Heat could still do it. I don't know. But I don't. If you could go get Bradley Beal, I think you go get Bradley Beal. But you don't do it at the expense of taking John Wall and just locking yourself into cap hell and not able to build around Butler and Bradley Beal. I don't see what the point of doing it would be. You know, I understand the point of getting Jimmy Butler because you still have some flexibility to do some other things. But if you do, if you bring in Wall, you just don't. There are some other moves. I think there are other moves will happen. I don't know if it'll happen in the next few days or in the next year or whatever. But, you know, if you could pair Jimmy Butler with a big like a Kevin Love or a LaMarcus Aldridge, maybe you do something like that.
Yeah, that seems like a better move right now. Like in the short term, I think. Yeah. As much as people want to criticize Love's contract, his injuries aren't the problem. His skill set is better, a better fit alongside Jimmy Butler. I mean, I like the addition, and we've talked about this many times before.
Yeah, but we're driving
a much better option.
We're driving the train to Kevin Lovetown. I mean, I could have made a Love Train joke there. I messed that up. Okay, go get Kevin Love. He's a great compliment. Not only does he fit, like you said, with Jimmy Butler, he fits with Bam Adebayo. Bam can cover up a lot of things for him. I think there's a lot of questions about whether or not Kevin Love is a power forward or a center. You don't have to worry about those questions if you have Bam because he could switch. He could guard either of those positions. So it's a great fit. And the contract's not bad. The contract's not bad. Kevin Love is a really good player. And if you were able to pair Jimmy Butler with Kevin Love, you now have two. You have a top 15 player in Jimmy Butler, and you probably have a top 30 player in Kevin Love who could potentially get even better when he gets into, you know, when he's fully healthy and everything like that. So I say do it, but, you know, we've been banging that table for a long time. That's it for today. You connect with us on Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening, and thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.